Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to a very special, very important, and I think quite comprehensive tour de raison of the concerns we should all have about economic warfare and the degree to which it's being used against us in what I call the war for the free world. We have with us one of the great authorities on this subject in our country these days. He is Kevin Freeman, a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, the author of two terrific books, Secret Weapon and Game Plan, and a driving force, as I say, behind an organization I think is of extraordinary importance, the National Security Investment Consultants Institute. It's a vehicle for training others to understand how finance can be used as an instrument for good or ill, and how to prepare them to help others use their resources for the national interest. Kevin, let me ask you about this issue of cyber warfare. You've written your book, Game Plan, specifically about it. There's a lot of evidence that the problem is getting worse by the day. Talk to us about some of that evidence.
Certainly. Well, we've just seen in recent weeks that Bangladesh had $81 million stolen from the Federal Reserve using the SWIFT transaction system by hacking the system. And SWIFT is what transacts money from country to country. And that possibly came from North Korea as an attack point. And North Korea's ramped up. It wasn't just Sony Pictures that they hacked. They've ramped up their cyber warfare forces. It's something that they can afford to do. In the modern world, you can inflict more damage with a cyber attack than a nuclear weapon. I didn't say that. That's a direct quote from 1999's Unrestricted Warfare, written by the Chinese. There's more influence to a hacker than a nuclear weapon. And so we've seen evidence with this $81 million theft from Bangladesh. The Iranians and the Saudis are repeatedly attacking one another via cyber means. Russia has hacked the German parliament recently. And something really interesting is China says we have a very lucrative market for you U.S. technology suppliers. Come show us all your security measures and teach us how your security operates before we allow you to access our market. And so all American companies line up to show, well, here's our good security and how it works and everything else. This is an economic war, and we're treating it as if it's just merely a trade opportunity. And so as we're treating this as a global marketplace, our enemies are treating it as a global battle space.
You know, Kevin, this is all the more extraordinary because this isn't Richard Nixon's opening to China and a lot of naive notions about how this would work out if we just integrated them into the world economy. This is with decades of experience now, where company after American company has gone in, has given away their technology seed corn to the Chinese and discovered that, lo and behold, they weren't, for very long at least, allowed into the China market. And by and large, they gave birth to competitors who soon began running them out of other markets, including, in some cases, our own. What on earth are these companies thinking? Is it again, just the lure of short-term profit and the expectation that they'll get theirs and then the devil take the hindmost? Or are they really under an illusion still that you can do business with the Chinese, including transferring your most sensitive intellectual property, to say nothing of, you know, what's really valuable to the security of your property and the country, for that matter?
Well, I have a firsthand experience where I did a research trip when I worked for the Templeton Organization into Shenzhen, and went and visited the stock exchange, and then visited one of the growing companies on the stock exchange, which was an original equipment manufacturer for American televisions and really television companies around the world. And they told us flat out, we're excited that we're producing for the big name brands because we're learning how to build our own televisions from that experience. And that wasn't something they hid. That's something that they told us as investors they were doing. So I don't think that it's a naivete. I think that it's well understood. But the lure of short-term profits, especially in the nature of our stock market and the way our system works, versus the long-term attitudes that the Chinese have, puts us at a serious disadvantage. They fight 100-year marathon wars. We think of the next week, the next quarter, the next year. So I think we're just at a serious philosophical disadvantage. They haven't really hidden their intentions other than to tell us that we're your friends. But this is no different than the Muhammad and the Islamic. You know, they'll sign a 10-year treaty with us when it's to their advantage, and then they'll turn on us.
That point, Kevin Freeman, about the short-term focus, the quarter-by-quarter profitability statements seemingly guiding a lot of companies. But it is rather amazing to me that the government of the United States isn't taking a longer-term view on this. They seem to be as obsessed with those profit statements, I guess, and short-term interests as are the companies. But Kevin, let me ask you, you mentioned the Federal Reserve was ripped off to the tune of $81 million. What are the Fed's authorities and for that matter, the SEC saying about the vulnerability of their entities to cyber attacks of an economic warfare variety, I guess?
Well, the SEC says this is the greatest threat that we have to our financial system is the cyber threat. The Federal Reserve is, you know, kind of a quasi-governmental, quasi-private institution. They report to Congress regularly, and they're appointed by the president, the key leaders. But it's a private institution, and they've been very hidden with how many times they've been hacked. It took a Freedom of Information Act request to get information to show the number of hacking attempts that have happened and how vulnerable they might be. They've everything they could to obscure the public's knowledge or understanding of how often they've been hacked. We know about Bangladesh because Bangladesh lost the money. We don't know what else has happened or how deep those cyber attacks have gone, but it's an extraordinary vulnerability. And if you take down our financial system, you take down America. We depend on it so much we cannot survive without a working ATM network, let alone a working stock market.
Kevin, you highlighted on your website, globaleconomicwarfare.com, several pieces recently by our friend Bill Gertz concerning the fact that the Russians and Chinese in particular seem undeterred in terms of their cyber warfare operations against us by the administration's policies and threats such as they are. Do you agree with that based on, you know, the continuing activity in this space? And if so, what should we be doing, in your judgment, to try to stave off this kind of activity, at least by these principal peer competitors, the Russians and Chinese?
Well, the official policy is called deterrence by denial, which means that we're going to deny others the opportunity to hack our systems, and that's how we will deter them. The problem with that is that it's not that expensive to conduct cyber attacks, so you can make billions of attempts, and you can deny all but one and still lose. So I phrased it, deterrence by denial means denying any opportunity to respond whatsoever. Denial is not just a river in Egypt.
Yeah, perhaps in addition, denying the nature of the problem itself is a aspect of this. Kevin, we have to pause for just one more second. We'll be right back with our last segment with Kevin Freeman about, among other things, the Internet and whether turning it over to the international community is going to be an enhancement to our security and economic and other freedoms or a detriment. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.